Again, we appreciate everybody being here, especially the Holy Spirit. And I sure don't want to mess it up. I just want to fall in His arms, and may He just help us to be able to do as He bids us to do. If God's knocking on your heart, please don't quench the spirit of promise. Anything on your heart? Well, several of you might have come to hear Brother Moran tonight, but he didn't even bring his Bible. So, I told him we had two or three in here, but I guess you're going to have to just listen to whatever the Lord gives us tonight. Last night, the Lord laid something on my heart, and I'm just going to go ahead and give you the title of this message tonight. Is Where is the Scribe? Where is the Scribe? I'm going to take one verse of Scripture. I thought I was going to read more, but I'm only going to take one verse of Scripture because that's the verse of Scripture that has been upon my heart since yesterday. It's found in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 20. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 20. Jesus said, "For I say unto you that except your righteousness exceed the scribes and the Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." That's the verse that I feel like I've got to bring to you tonight. So tonight, Jesus and the Sermon on the Mount, I think we pretty much understand that you are the salt of the earth. We understand when He said, "Let your light so shine before men that they might see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." He said all these proceeding up to that. But then, right in the middle of His sermon, He says, "For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." Tonight, we take our title from another passage of Scripture we'll look at in just a moment. Where is the scribe? I think you and I probably both, if you've been in Missionary Baptist Church as much, we've heard a lot of messages on the Pharisees. Don't be like the Pharisees. Don't be as they are. But what about the scribe? I've not ever heard a lot of messages about the scribe. And why God lays messages on my heart like that, I don't understand. But tonight, I want to try to explain. And the question is, where is the scribe? I think I can answer that question. The scribe is in one of two places. He's either in heaven or he's in hell. There's no in between. So where is the scribe? The Bible says, Jesus says, He says in this passage, "Unless or except your righteousness," that's a key word, "your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribe and the Pharisee, you will not in any case enter into the kingdom of heaven." So we find in the dictionary, Webster's 1828 dictionary, I want to give you the definition of the word scribe, or what a scribe is. It's a noun. It is formed probably on the root of a grave, a scrape, a scrub. The first writing was probably an engraving or wood or stone. Now, I don't think that's what this is talking about. So Noah Webster goes on and tells us a little bit more of what a scribe is. He says, in the general sense, he's a writer. He's a writer. And Jesus was talking about specific scribes. And specifically, He's talking about those that write the Scriptures. Keep that in mind. How would you like to be somebody whose life was completely devoted to writing Scriptures? Day in and day out, you've got the Word of God. God inspired men to write these words. And a scribe is writing those on scrolls. And he's writing them every day. He's getting to see it every day of his life. He's reading the Word of God. And Jesus said, except your righteousness exceed that scribe and that Pharisee, you're not going to see the kingdom of heaven. Noah Webster went on to say, he's a notary or a public writer. In ecclesiastical meetings and associations in America, he's a secretary or a clerk, you see. Or one who records the transactions of an ecclesiastical body. So it could be a clerk, if you would, like an association, or a clerk in a church. That's a scribe. righteousness exceeds that person, you're not going to see the kingdom of heaven. The fourth definition that Webster gives, and I like this, because it's really what I believe Jesus is talking about. He says in Scripture, and in the Jewish history, it's a clerk or a secretary to a king. In particular, Sariah was the scribe to King David in 2 Samuel 8 and 17. I just love it when Noah Webster puts the Bible scriptures in a dictionary, because it's there. But then listen to the fifth definition of a scribe. It's an officer who enrolled or kept the rolls of the army and called over the names and reviewed them. And it gives two verses of scripture there. But the sixth title or sixth definition is, listen close, a writer or a doctor of the law. A man of learning, one skilled in the law. One who read and explained the law to the people. And he says a prime example is Ezra and Ezra 8:1. The scribe would get up. Not only did he write the Word of God, he would get up and expound upon the Word of God. Now I bring you back to what Jesus said. He said, unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribe and the Pharisee, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. What is righteousness? I looked at what Noah said about it. Noah Webster said about that too. You know what he says? Righteousness means you're just. So in other words, you have to be just according to the divine law. It's applied to persons. It denotes one who is holy in heart. How did Noah Webster know that? Somebody that's holy in heart is righteous. So that means if you're not holy in heart, you're not righteous. Amen. That's what I'm going to try to show you. What Jesus is trying to convey to us and to everyone that was there and listening to the Sermon on the Mount. Unless your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. You say, why do you keep repeating that? Because I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, it's been going over in my mind ever since yesterday. Ever since yesterday, what are you trying to convey to us? Well, where is the scribe? Where is the Pharisee? You see, Noah Webster said, it denotes one who is holy in heart and observant of the divine commands and practice as a righteous man. Applied to things, it denotes consonant to the divine will or to justice as a righteous act. It is used chiefly in theology and applied to God and to His testimony and to His saints. The righteous in Scripture denotes the servants of God, the saints. In other words, if you are righteous, you are a saint in the eyes of God. You are a saint because you are righteous within. He said it means you're just, you're equitable, you're merited. And I, thy righteous doom, will bless, is what the dictionary says. So, let's talk a little bit tonight about righteousness. The righteousness of this scribe. And where we find this is in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And you're going to find that the Apostle Paul, as we look over here, he brings this out to the Corinthians. In the Corinthian letter, in the first epistle, the first letter that he wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, I want to begin reading with verse 18. And you're going to find the text be in this scripture. He says, for the preaching of the cross is to them foolishness. He says, He said, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. And then Paul said, for it is written. Who did the writing? The scribes did. They would write, they would expound, they would teach, they would preach on the Old Testament scriptures that were given to these prophets, and they would expound upon them. They would read them day in and day out. And the Apostle Paul says, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. In verse 20, he says, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? He says, where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made the foolish the wisdom of this world? He said, for after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. I'll tell you, the scribe that believes in the preaching of the gospel, he's righteous and he's saved by God's grace. But what does Jesus say? He said, except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribe and Pharisee. So I'm going to ask a series of questions, and I'm going to give you some scriptures tonight, for all of us to think about. Before we do that, what else does it say? It says, for the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks, well, they seek after wisdom. He said, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men. And he said, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. He said, for you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, and not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God had chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God had chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. He said, in base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence, but of him are in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, there you go again, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. And so now, tonight, as we get ready to go into this message, we want to talk about righteousness of the scribe and the Pharisee. And the first thing you must understand is that your righteousness must exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees that rejected Jesus Christ. It's got to exceed that. You say, but how does it exceed that? Well, the first thing you have to understand is, what does your righteousness look like? Our righteousness, according to Isaiah, is none other than filthy rags. That's what it is. So as we look at this, I'm not going to tell you anything new. This has been preached for many years, but God has placed it upon my heart tonight to expound upon to each and every one of us that our righteousness must exceed that of the scribe and the Pharisee. So let's begin reading in verse 4 of Isaiah 64. He said, for since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, he said, nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, beside thee, shall he have prepared for him that waiteth for him. He said, thou meetest him that rejoiceth and worketh righteousness. Those that remember thee in thy ways, behold, thou art wroth. For we have sinned, and those is continuance, and we shall be saved. And in verse 6, he says, but we are all as an unclean thing. And he said, and all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And he said, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. And I'll tell you, if you want to exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, the first thing you got to understand is that your righteousness before the Almighty God is nothing better than just a pile of old, filthy, dirty rags. And I'll tell you, that's the way I felt before I got saved. It sounds like Brother Terry had a very similar experience. And anyone that's ever been saved by the grace of God, righteous before God, you have to understand that when you saw yourself as God saw you, you were completely without any righteousness at all. So the Bible says, and there is none that calleth on thy name, that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. For thou hast hid thy face from us, and hast consumed us because of our iniquities. But I like verse 8. It says, but now, O Lord, thou art the Father,
He said, we are the clay. Thou art the potter. And we are all the work of thy hand. If you're going to become righteous, what you're going to have to understand, that even though you may not be a scribe, you not be a Pharisee, if you're lost and separated from God, you're going to have to commit your soul to God as a potter on the wheel and let Him work a work in you that only He can do. So, I think the first thing you've got to come to the realization is that we, in our makeup as a human being, we like to self-righteous, or we like to self-justify everything we say, everything we do, everything we think. And you might say, well, Brother Spurgeon, I don't have that problem. Well, that's good if you don't, but I believe if not the majority, if not all of us, have an issue with self-righteousness. I see it in my grandkids. I see it in my little grandson, Sawyer, just the other day. You asked him, went in there, and Gracie, she's our youngest granddaughter, and she was crying. She had crocodile tears coming down her eyes. We said, what happened? Sawyer, did you hit? No, I didn't hit her. You didn't hit her? Yeah. No, I didn't hit her. Well, she was being loud, so I just smacked her a little bit. But he's trying to justify himself. He's only 4 years old. He was trying to justify smacking his little sister, and it really, he was kind of lying about that. You know why? Because even at 4 years old, jealousy will set in. If you give just a little bit more attention to the one-year-old, the four-year-old, it's going to try to retaliate. It's natural. You're going to want to be self-righteous. I put this, self-righteousness is an eternal killer. Did you know that? It will kill you eternally if you don't turn your self-righteousness and put it into the righteousness of God. How do we know that? Well, it's a very simple prayer, but you know what? Jesus, He put forth a parable in the 18th chapter of the book of Luke. I love this parable. It's nothing new, but listen to what it says. It says in the 9th verse of the 18th chapter of the book of Luke, and He spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves. People go around trusting in themselves that they were righteous and they despised others. Then He said two men went into the temple to pray, or went up into the temple to pray. The one was a Pharisee. Scribes and Pharisees sound familiar. He said one was a Pharisee, and unless your righteousness exceed that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you're just not going to make it. You're not going to make it. That's what Jesus said. You're just not going to make it. So, there was this Pharisee and there was this publican. The Pharisee stood within and prayed thus within himself. And so you might say, well, Brother Spurgeon, you really haven't told us much about scribes. There's not a lot to tell. But what I can tell you is if Jesus put together scribes and Pharisees, you can pretty much read about a Pharisee and you read about a scribe. If you read about a scribe, you read about a Pharisee. And if you put them together, you put them in the same pot, this is what you're going to get. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus within himself, God, I thank Thee that I am not as other men are. He said, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican over here. He said, I fast twice a week. He said, and not only do I fast twice a week, in a week, He said, I give tithes of all that I possess. But the publican is standing afar off, would not even lift up so much as his eyes into heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He said, I tell you, Jesus did, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. If you're justified, you're righteous in the sight of God. Because a righteous man. It's a just person. It's one whose soul has been cleansed by the blood of the Lamb of Jesus Christ. For everyone that exalted themselves shall be abased, and he that humbled himself shall be exalted. So what it's telling me is that you have to take your self-righteousness, which is an eternal killer, and just bow before an almighty Almighty God. And I'm not talking about bowing your knee. I'm not talking about bowing your body. I'm talking about your heart. As Brother Moran said last night in Psalms 34 and 18, that God will say that be of a contrite spirit, a crushed spirit, and those things that are brokenhearted, and save as such as be of a contrite spirit. He will. That crushed spirit. You have to humble yourself in the sight of God. Did you know that the gift of God's righteousness is made available by Jesus Christ? And the Bible tells us that. It's found in Romans chapter 5 and verse 17. Romans 5 and 17. I want to turn over there and we're going to look. Where is the scribe? Where is the Pharisee? Where are you tonight? 17th verse. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace. If you receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. So in order for you to obtain the gift of God's righteousness, you have to seek the Lord Jesus Christ with all of your heart until you know that you know that you're saved. Simple, but it's available. Still available right now. It's available to anyone that wants it. But you got to see your need. If you don't see your need, you'll never get it. You have got to see your need of salvation and righteousness. He went on to say, therefore, as by one, or the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came unto all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. He said, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And it still does today. That as sin hath reigned into death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. The only way that a Pharisee, a scribe, or a sinner, or anybody that's ever going to seek the Lord and get righteousness, it must be through Jesus Christ and Him only. The only way. That's the only way it's going to happen. And when you get it, when you get righteousness, the Spirit of life, who is life? Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father except by me. I wonder how many times the scribes read that. I wonder how many times they wrote that down. I wonder how many times they wrote down Isaiah chapter 55 that says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. The scribe read that and expounded upon it and read and expounded upon it. And yet Jesus says, except your righteousness exceed the scribe and the Pharisee. Where does that put us? Where does that put us? The Spirit of life is because of God's righteousness. Oh, the Holy God. How do we know that? Romans 8 and 6. And I started reading. I didn't know where to stop reading. But I just wanted to pick these up because there's one thing that you have to understand. And the Apostle Paul brings this out to the Church of Rome. He says, for to be carnally minded is death. You know, that must have been part of the scribes and Pharisees' problems. They weren't looking for a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. They were looking for a king that would restore Israel. They sure wasn't looking for this Galilean. They sure wasn't looking for somebody that was born in a manger. He said, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Was that the problem with the scribes and Pharisees? Jesus said, outwardly they look pretty good. Inwardly, they were like a bunch of dead man's bones in a grave. So they cleaned up the outside of the cup. Oh, looks pretty good on the outside. You look pretty good on the outside. Maybe that's what the devil's telling you every day of your life. Oh, you're a pretty good guy. Oh, you're a lot better than those. like you, but I'm telling you, if you think that you're righteous and they're not, because you're just a little bit better, you're just a little cleaner, you're just a little bit more in tune with what's going on, you're not going to make it. I know this is rough, but I'm telling you, you're going to have to see yourself as Jesus is saying. And your righteousness must exceed the righteousness of these Pharisees and these scribes who think that they're better than everybody else. And you may say, Brother Spurgeon, I don't have that problem. I'm not better than anybody else. Then what's the problem? What is it? You say, I don't have a problem. That's the problem. If you're lost and separated from God and you don't think you've got a problem, you've got a bigger problem than what you think. So, he says, so that they that are in the flesh cannot please God, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life. Because of what? Because of righteousness. God's righteousness gives us eternal life. He gives us life. And you see, I'm living it up, and I'm living every day. I'll tell you, you not begin to live until Jesus comes in your heart. Then you just begin to live. That's when you're going to live eternally. This is a temporary life. We're just here for a short while, and then our life is just going to vaporize and go away. But you see, tonight, you've got an opportunity. You say, well, Brother Spurgeon, there's nobody here lost tonight. Well, there may be somebody listening or on Facebook. I'll tell you, this message needs to be preached to the whole world. And if you're unrighteous before God, you've got to seek Jesus with all of your heart, because that life, that spiritual life, that righteousness, listen to what it says. The Spirit of life is because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He says, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by the Spirit that dwelleth in you. I think that's all I'm going to read tonight, a little verse of Scriptures. Now, I want to get to some hard questions. Are you righteous? It's either yes or no. I'm not talking about self-righteousness. I'm not talking about your righteousness as a filthy rag. I'm talking if you're righteous tonight, and if you truly know you're righteous, it's because God's Spirit dwells within you. And He took a filthy, wretched, vile, wicked sinner and made him an heir to the King. He changed you. He did it. He's the potter. We have virtually nothing to do other than call out to God and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, just like the publican. So are you righteous? I'll follow it up with another question. Some people say, well, yeah, I'm righteous. So let me follow up with another question. Do you really know the Lord? Do you know the Lord? If you really know the Lord, you're going to understand where I'm coming from concerning being righteous. It's nothing that we can boast of. It's nothing that we can brag about. I'll tell you, it's because God's amazing grace brought us up out of the pit and put our feet on the solid rock. Why, in the middle of a sermon, would Jesus say, let's accept your righteousness to see the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees? There's got to be something to that. So the last question I'll ask tonight, and then I'm going to answer with some verses of Scripture, is to whom do you belong? Who do you belong to? According to the Scriptures, you either belong to God or you belong to the devil. You say, prove it, preacher. Okay. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. I'll let John do the talking. How'd you like to have been the scribe that scribed this all down? I wonder how many scribes got saved. Wow! Where is the scribe? Why did Paul say that?
The writing, they're in there. They wrote it. They wrote it down. They expelled it and put it. They get up on a pulpit. That's the way it was when Ezra got up. And you know what? The scribes, they hadn't even been reading it. They hadn't even been writing it. Why? Because it was all locked up in the temple that had been taken over. But you see, they brought it out to the young king. The king read it before the people. And he said, let's make it a pulpit. And let's let them read the Word of God to all the people. And you know what the people did? They stood. They stood from the morning all the way to the evening because they knew that what the scribes were telling them was holy. It was from God. And it says all the people would say, amen. The women, the children, the men. It was all of them as he read, and Ezra and the scribes, they read the Word of God. But they would get up and they would say, amen. So John says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that which we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Do you know the Lord? If you know the Lord, then you're righteous before God. If you don't know the Lord, you better seek the Lord and get to know Him. I mean, because your time is running out. So he says, beloved, that we are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. What is John saying? Every child of God that is truly saved by the grace of God, you're the first one that knows it. You're the first one that tells it. And as Brother Terry said, they used to tell him back then, we still tell you now. When you say, well, we're not going to walk, we know it. How will you know it? I'll tell you, you're going to feel something inside that doesn't feel good at all. It's one of the worst feelings I ever had in my life. And then you say, well, how will you know when you're saved? Oh, you'll know when you're saved, because that's the best feeling I ever had in my life. And I don't even have to go back to that first time. I just got to go back to that blessing I got last night while he was preaching. The blessing I got when he was testifying. The blessings I got when we were singing the songs. You take some songs people get up and request, it's because the Lord said to. You know what? There's not a better thing to do than spend a little time in the garden with the Lord. Why? Because He walks with you. He talks with you. You see, you can know. In fact, you got to know. He said, and every man that hath this hope in Him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. That's righteousness. Whosoever committeth sin transgresses also the law, for the sin is the transgression of the law. Verse 5. And ye know that He was manifest to take away our sins, and in Him is no sin. So it says in verse 6, whosoever abideth in Him sinneth not, and whosoever sinneth hath not seen Him, neither known Him. Little children, let no man deceive you. Listen real close, verse 7. He that doeth righteous is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil. I told you, didn't I? For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that He would destroy the works of the devil. And whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his sin remaineth in him. He cannot sin because he is born of God. Verse 10, last verse, and I'll be done. He says, in this the children of God are manifest, made known, and the children of the devil. So you're either a child of the devil or you're a child of God. But there's no in between. If you're a child of the devil, that means you're in wickedness, you're unrighteous, and you are bound for hell. If you're saved by God's grace, you are righteous in heart, your soul is redeemed, and you're going to heaven when you die. Are you righteous? Do you know the Lord? To whom do you belong? In this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Both sides, they're made known. Whosoever doeth not righteous is not of God. That's what the Bible says.
I'm not declaring one way or the other what you are, because I don't have that ability, and neither does anybody else. If anybody tells you you're righteous or you're saved or you've prayed long enough, you know what they are? I'm going to just be bold about it. They're a liar. They don't know. This is between you and God. And you're the one and the only one that knows how righteous you are before the Almighty God. John went on to say, "Whosoever does not righteous is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother." I don't know why he threw that in there, but I'm glad he did. You better be careful. You better be careful about how you think about other people. But more importantly, you better be thinking about what God thinks about you, because that's what really matters. You're my brothers. You're my sisters. I thank you for listening to us tonight. Our text tonight is this, and I don't know if I expounded upon it the way God wanted it expounded upon, but I did the best I could with what I had to try to help all of us understand that before the Almighty God, our righteousness, oh my goodness, our righteousness isn't in good. God's righteousness is perfect, pure, just, holy, and essential to making it to heaven. If you don't have it, you got to get it. When you going to get it? You'll get it, as Jesus says in that 20th verse of the 5th chapter of Matthew. "For I say unto you that except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter the kingdom of heaven." As we stand and sing, Brother Jimmy, do you have a song? Thank you for listening. Thank you for coming. Person that's truly righteous before God will be humbled, just like the public. I'm very humble that I know Christ is the Lord. And because of that, I want everyone, no matter who you are, to have what I've got in here. If I could give it to you, I would, but I can't. But I know man can and will do that if you speak in the call of God. His name is Jesus. Will you come? Thank you.
Thank you. Could you say number
2 hours? 2:30. He told me he was saved. And he had been in heaven.
You rejoice in that, that will be. When I get to heaven, it's in my Jesus.
Amen.
I want to thank you for all he's done for me, for this little church. He's been drawing you on in your family. What a husband that the Lord has brought to me. I'm so thankful. I just want to praise him and praise him. Y'all pray for us. It will be the Lord's will at all times.
Someone else in the best of all of the prayer.
Amen.
Yes. Thank you.
See, and seniors sing that a lot, and they used to.
Paul said, we know. If our earthly house of this tabernacle will dissolve, we have a building of God, and the house not made with hands. It's our own land. That's not the result. Someone else will look at
it. Page 57.